Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast and Radio MD iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We have a special guest today. He is, of course, the B segment. This is 1239B. The Bs are always wonderful guests. Reagan Archibald is one of those. He wrote The Peptide Blueprint, Achieving Optimal Health and Performance at Any Age. He really is an expert on peptides as well as longevity in general. So let's get right to it. But before that, I've got to remind you, we're sponsored by Life's First Naturals, the makers of Trubiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. Go to their website, lifefirstnaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials on those three substances, as well as Longevity Playbook. Go to their website, longevityplaybook.com, and sign up for the free newsletter. Reagan, thank you very much. This is Reagan Archibald, and I was lucky enough to be on his podcast, Unreasonable Health, which is the point that we want you to have unreasonably healthy behavior, so to speak, and be healthy. So first of all, what are peptides and what makes them different than traditional drugs?
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Dr. Roizen. And peptides are unique because they're protein structures. They're short chains of amino acids that our cells use to communicate. And so I look at peptides as a bypass. We bypass a lot of the constraints when it comes to wellness and longevity because we can activate different cellular expressions and signaling to help people recover faster, to help improve energy. Peptides like GLP-1s that help turn off that hunger signal. I look at peptides as an endless opportunity for the body to rejuvenate itself.
Now, we know that the GLP-1s, specifically semaglutide and tirzepatide, or what's known as Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro, are approved by the FDA. Are most peptides approved by the FDA for specific diseases, or how do they get used?
Some of the peptides are, you know, if you look at the growth hormone releasing peptides, which is a really powerful subset of medicines that can actually help your body drop into deeper sleep, better recovery. We also just find people feel a little more youthful when they've got growth hormone activation. But like tesamorelin it's a longer amino acid chain. It's closer to 43 amino acid chains, I believe. And it was approved in 2012 for patients who had lipodystrophy. So they had an accumulation of visceral fat. And these were primarily patients with HIV who they were losing muscle mass. They were wasting mostly from the medications that they were on. But what tesamorelin did in the studies is found that it helped reduce the visceral fat substantially. It also allowed these patients to build a substantial amount of lean muscle mass with the tolerable side effects, very infrequent side effects that came with it. And so, yeah, there are certain peptides that are FDA approved that we use. There's also a lot of them that aren't, like BPC-157, which is a very common peptide. It's angiogenic. It's made by your gastric secretions in your gut. So it's naturally there, and it's been used for close to 40 years from what I can see in the literature, but most of the studies have been on animals. However, the clinical trials that I have seen actually look, it's a very promising peptide, and just anecdotally, it's a peptide that helps with any kind of muscle injury, tendon injury, any kind of issues where people have had the need to improve their recovery. I mean, post-surgically, we use it. It's very phenomenal, but not FDA approved for any particular medical condition.
If someone is going and trying to shop for peptides, obviously the GLPs and the tesamorelin are approved, but how does one look for this? In other words, how does one choose Reagan Archibald's clinical practice versus someone else's use of that peptide? Or are there substantial GMP manufacturing facilities? How does one try and source those?
It's a great question because 4 out of 5 peptides that people take are purchased online. You can go to websites and you can purchase peptides that say for research use only. Those peptides, we've tested them. It's not always the full amino acid strain, so you're not always getting what you think you're buying. Not only that, there can be issues with sterility. So what we do is we work with compounding pharmacies, and compounding pharmacies are able to compound and make these peptides. They are licensed pharmacies, licensed in several different states in most of the pharmacies that we work with. So they're able to compound these substances in a way that's very sterile, very safe. And then you're also getting the right amino acid profile. You're not just getting a fragment of BPC or thymosin beta 4, for example. You're getting the complete complex.
Now, if I'm interested in something that boosts immunity, what should I look for?
Well, I would look for the thymulin peptides because as we age, our thymus gland involutes, and you're somebody who is biologically, or you're in your 8th decade, but you're 20 years younger, or chronologically, you're right around 80, and you're 20 years younger biologically. And so, you know, even by the time we're about 65, our thymus gland is about the size of a pea. And so the thymulin peptides, like zinc thymulin or thymosin beta 4, thymosin alpha 1, there's phenomenal benefits that you can have to remodulate the immune response. Thymosin alpha 1 actually has orphan drug status where it's used for a variety of things. One of the main conditions they looked at it for was for autoimmunity. They found that it does regulate that Th1, Th2 response, Th17. It also can be used as a vaccine adjunct. So it actually creates more selectivity in vaccines with fewer side effects. It can be used in cancer treatments to help support the immune response without turning off the chemotherapy's ability to destroy the cancer. But thymosin alpha 1 is very regenerative. So if you're looking to have some immune modulation, I think it's a great peptide to go for.
We're talking with Regan Archibald, the author of The Peptide Blueprint, Achieving Optimal Health and Performance at Any Age. And he is a go-to person about peptides, as you can hear. So people often come with age and not only worry about immunity, but worry about their energy levels. So I assume over time, the thymosin 1 will get studied for this and we'll learn much more about it it is the revolution of peptides that have occurred because of the GLP-1s is truly amazing. So what should we expect for energy? In other words, I have everybody comes to me and says, I need more energy if they're over the age of 60, and even many under the age of 60.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's what life's about, is managing energy, but we always want just a little more of it. And the great peptides, if you look at the GLP-1s, I would have to argue that as far as scientific breakthroughs and medical treatments that are needed now more than ever, the biggest breakthrough in medicine are the GLP-1s since maybe antibiotics. Just looking at the staggering amount of obesity and metabolic disease. But the secondary thing that people are going after now, and there will be, there's pharmaceutical companies that are in clinical trials right now with some of the mitochondrial derived peptides or the MDPs. There's 3 peptides that I love for energy production. And I'm a big fitness junkie. I love mountain biking, skiing, snowboarding, anything outside.
And we should say you live in Utah, is that right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
The homework of outside activities.
Yes, I live right near Deer Valley, in the Park City area. And so I've got access to world-class recreation and been hard at it for 30 years, enjoying my recreation, and I plan on having another good 30-year run at it. But I use peptides, and these mitochondrial-derived peptides like MOD-SC. MOD-SC is the closest thing to an exercise mimetic that I've seen. It activates, MOD-SC is a gene that gets activated in the satellite cells in your muscles. It was studied, you can test the expression of MOTC after you exercise, and you'll see that MOTC expression goes up about 500 to 600%, and then it slowly declines over the course of 4 or 5 hours. So one of the things they've done is they've looked at MOTC production in old mice and then compared that to young mice. And then they put the old mice on a treadmill to see how far they could run versus the young mice. And young mice can run about twice the distance. But what the researchers did is they administered MOTC for 7 days on the old mice and then put them on the treadmill again, and they could run the distance of the young mice with just 7 days of treatment. And when you use MOTC, you feel energized, you feel better, it creates more insulin sensitivity, it activates the AMPK pathway, so it's a secondary bypass for energy production. And it's also activated when you trigger heat shock protein. So even being in the sauna, you can express more of this peptide. The other peptide that's very promising is called SS31. And that peptide right now is in clinical trials for type 2 diabetes and Alzheimer's, because what it does is it repairs the mitochondrial wall. And so just like our cells go through autophagy, where you're clearing out the old cells, and our mitochondria do the same. And so SS31, it seems to help remove a lot of the reactive oxygen species. It helps downregulate some of the oxidative stress that can happen when the mitochondria they accumulate and they're not as effective as they once were. And I like SS31 because, unlike MOTC, you don't get like it's not like an energy that you notice throughout the day, but I notice it more with endurance. I recover faster. I notice better mental clarity. It's one of the peptides in my current stack right now. So I think MOTC, SS31, you'll see and hear a lot more about these peptides in the future for energy.
Do you worry that they will suppress almost secretion of? In other words, is there any feedback loop suppression?
Yeah, that's a great question, because from what we've seen, most of these peptides are metabolized so quickly that you turn on the gene and there's not going to be the same type of risk that you have with a hormone, for example, which is more of a long-term communicator in the body. And so that negative feedback loop causes our body to produce less testosterone, for example, if you're on exogenous testosterone. With most of these peptides, if you stack and cycle them in the right way, obviously there's a feedback loop because there's a biological input, but the metabolic rate in which these peptides are utilized is 5 to 7 minutes, in some cases 30 minutes. In the GLP-1s, it's about 7 days, maybe 10 days, depending on the dose. So generally speaking, we don't see as heavy of a burden on the feedback loop as you would with like hormones or small molecule drugs.
So if you were to bet on the future of medicine, and let's look at it 5 years from now, first of all, what percent of people do you think are taking, other than the GLP-1s, are taking a peptide now? And what do you think it will be in 5 years?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I've been swimming in peptides for a decade, and it was certainly 21, 22 is when they really started. We saw a surge. And right now, actually, the last study I saw, there's about 10% of the population in the United States have actually taken a GLP-1. And so I think there's an enormous potential there. So my guess is in 5 years, it will be closer to 30 to 35% of Americans will be on peptides, whether that's GLP-1 or if some of these mitochondrial peptides are released to the market. I think more doctors are prescribing some of these growth hormone releasing peptides off label because of their effectiveness. So my prediction is about 32%. How about that?
We're talking with Regan Archibald, the author of a wonderful book on peptides. You'll want to get it. He, in fact, has written The Peptide Blueprint, Achieving Optimal Health and Performance at Any Age. You've also written a number of other books. What do you like? Do you have a favorite other baby, if you will? I know books are like babies. Do you have, other than your podcast, which is wonderful, called Unreasonable Health, do you have another favorite baby book?
And I appreciate that. The book I'm writing right now is Ageless Future, and that book's been really exciting, but I just can't finish it. As you know, there's so many new studies coming out. But I do have a book called Never Stop Healing. It's a lot more comprehensive. There's so many things on lifestyle in that book. I would say that one, I'm very proud of that one. I had a co-author, Ann Marked, who's also on my team. And so it was just a really fun book to write.
Never Stop Healing. What a great title.
Thank
Jeez, what
you.
A wonderful title.
Means a lot coming from you.
We talked about in the A phase, in the A segment, we have an A and a B on the podcast every week. And the A's are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. And we talked a little bit about healing with trying to get more stem cells and about what we call xenoreversal, as there's a drug now from China that takes old cells that are essentially in the senile phase and rejuvenates them, at least in animals. And so my guess is your never stop healing is what we should all do. That way we'll keep repairing ourselves. So I love it. We've been talking with Regan Archibald, the peptide blueprint, achieving optimal health and performance at any age. And I'm going to have to get Never Stop Healing just because the title is so intriguing and I know you write well. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for coming on the podcast as well and for having me on yours. The sponsors, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of TrueBiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and something that's very useful for the GLP-1s when you step up the dose because it decreases the risk of nausea, vomiting, or constipation when you step up the dose. Dye Rescue works about 50% of the time in patients in the anecdotal reports. The randomized controlled trials, of course, are with Bovine Colostrum and TrueBiotics for other purposes, but Dye Rescue seems to have a strong following, at least in the blogosphere, for the step up in dose. Take it 2 days before, the day of, and 2 days after you step up a dose. That's Dye Rescue. And of course, our other sponsor, LongevityPlaybook.com. Sign up for the free newsletter. Pretty soon, the Longevity AI Coach. And we'll have to include some more work by Regan Archibald on peptides in that as well. Thanks very much. And I hope all of you get the peptide blueprint. Plus, I'm going to do a review on Never Stop Healing in a couple weeks. And we'll have to have you back on to discuss that. Thank you.